Paul and Silas are in a very rough spot in our reading. Even though Paul had done a very great thing in the previous part of the chapter in driving out the demon from a slave girl, her owners were now upset. They, after all, had made a good living from her. But all of that was now gone. Paul, in their eyes, had robbed them. And so they dragged him and Silas to the court at Philippi. And notice that it says, dragged. They probably didn't do it very nicely. And throwing them down before the officials, they made all kinds of false accusations against them. They said that they were stirring up trouble, even though they hadn't. They said that they were spreading ideas that were dangerous to society, even though they weren't. But even if everything that they said was false, the crowd believed those who had brought them. And they attacked Paul and Silas, probably beating them and spitting upon them and assaulting them, since these men were clearly troublemakers. And the officials at Philippi treated them no better. Luke tells us that they ordered them to be stripped naked and to be beaten with rods as if they were terrible criminals, even though there was no evidence and no real charge against them. The officials had been caught up in the madness of the crowd and swept along in their fury. And so Paul and Silas, now covered with bruises and sores, maybe even injured from their beating, were thrown into the innermost prison of the city to await further sentencing. Their feet were bound firmly in the stocks, hardly a comfortable position to be in. All of this would be enough to make anyone be in a bad mood, to say nothing about falling into despair. And yet, in the middle of the night, bruised and bound, Paul and Silas were singing hymns. They were praying and giving thanks to God, and doing it loud enough so that all the other prisoners in the prison could hear them. It seemed as if they were totally unaffected by the horrible treatment they had just received. In fact, you wouldn't know that just hours earlier they had been beaten and mistreated so badly. But why? What moved them to act in this way? Nothing less than their faith in God, so that they trusted Him even in the midst of their pain. And Christians, we often find ourselves in difficult situations, even if not to the extreme that we see here in our reading. Perhaps we face the hostility of the world, the mockery and the slander of those who are opposed to God, who label us with all kinds of names falsely, simply because we trust in the Lord. Perhaps we are faced with our own struggles. We struggle to make ends meet. We struggle with some personal conflict. We struggle with bad things which never seem to go away. And perhaps we are faced with pain and suffering, faced with a new cancer diagnosis, faced with health issues that never seem to get better, or even just faced with the pains of getting older. Faced with all of these things, Christians, it is all too easy for us to wonder, where is God in the midst of this? Or, more to the point, what is the point of all of this? Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to suffer in this way? Can anything good come out of these things? Why does it always seem like things are getting worse, with no end in sight? But Paul and Silas's joy in the midst of their pain is an example for us, because they still trusted in God, even despite their suffering. Though they were suffering unjustly, they knew that God would not forget them. Though they were enduring pain, they knew that God had promised them all good things. Even though they lay in prison, they knew that God had given them many good things, so that they were able to find joy even with their feet bound in those stocks. If God is for us Christians, who can be against us? If God is on our side, why should we despair? I mean, think of it this way. God has given you his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered and died for you. Jesus went to the cross for you. Jesus took away all of your sins and has made you an heir of heaven. And if God has done all of that for you, Christians, will he now forget all about you? Will he leave you to suffer alone now that you have to endure these pains and sorrows? Of course not. If God has done the greatest thing of all in giving you his Son, he will care for you in the little things too. And knowing that is a cause for joy. Christ is yours, even in the midst of the troubles of this life. And all the things that we must now endure will give way to a joy that will never come to an end. But another reason for their joy, Christians, is that they know that God works all things for good for those who love him. And we see such a beautiful example of that in our reading for this evening. Because as Paul and Silas were singing those hymns in the prison, God sent an earthquake to shake the building. And that earthquake shook the doors open. It shook all the chains off their hands and feet. The jailer, of course, ran in to make sure that no one had run away, because in his fear, he threatens to kill himself. If he had failed in this, it would cost him his life. But the calm confidence of Paul and Silas made an impression on all of those prisoners, so that none of them ran away, even though they had the perfect opportunity to do so. And the jailer himself was surprised by what happened. He was deeply moved by the example of these two men, so that he asked them what he must do to be saved. And when he hears the gospel, he believes, along with his entire household. God had used this rough situation to bring his word to these people. And through their preaching, an entire family came to faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe even some of the prisoners in the jail that night. Though the situation was bad, it became the greatest good for those around them, so that they were all now brothers in the faith and co-heirs of glory with God. And additionally, Christians, it was their calm confidence in the face of all of this that became a witness to the gospel. Remaining calm and joyful, even in that awful situation, made such an impression on those around them. It showed the world something that the world could never find. And it opened the door for many to listen to what they had to say. And likewise, when we trust in God, and when we show forth our joy in the midst of our suffering, God can use that as a way of calling others to faith. Because it's not what they expect to happen. And that leads them to wonder and to listen. And it can open the door to eternity. So when we are faced with our own troubles, Christians, we too can trust in the Lord, knowing that he will work all things for good, even if we can't see how right now. It may be that this pain is meant to teach us patience. It may be that this suffering is a way of bearing witness. It may be that this sickness is meant to bring us closer to God. We may not always see the reason why things happen. We may not even see the reason until the light of eternity. But God means all things for good. And though we suffer, our gracious God will always do what is best. And that gives us patience and hope in the midst of our distress. So trust in Him. Your gracious Father will care for you in all things, and He will make all things work for good for those who love Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, lead us to always trust in your fatherly care, because you have shown us your never-failing love in Jesus Christ, your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.